You are tuned in to Faith City Outreach with Marina Maria, the founder of Global Gospel Worship Radio. Marina interviews local pastors and global leaders, sharing their testimonies and the work they're doing for the Lord. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus reminds us, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We hope this program will encourage you to do just that. Now here's your host, Marina Maria.
Welcome to Faith City Outreach. This is Marina Maria with today's special guest, Senior Pastor Bill Jenkins of Destiland Christian Center in Rancho Cucamonga, and it's in California. He is a television and radio host, award-winning author. He just released his new book, The Prophetic 2024 Almanac. Thank you so much, Pastor Bill, for returning to Faith City Outreach to discuss what the Bible says is the purpose and role of government, and what is the role of believers towards voting.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and look forward to the time we have together today.
Thank you. Pastor Bill, we are living in ever-changing times, and our political process has changed drastically since the 2020 U.S. presidential election, and it has caused distrust from Americans, let alone Christians. And many people are having a negative outlook towards the results of our next presidential election. What does the Bible say about what is the purpose for the government?
Well, actually, the Bible talks about three main institutions. You have the family, which it was the first institution God created. You have the church, and then you have government. And so government was established to sort of keep the citizens safe, to establish some laws, to make sure that, you know, we didn't have all-out chaos in our land. And so in many ways, government is a good thing. We think too often that government is bad. Government is good. Government is from God. It's where we get men and women involved, and they get their own personal agendas involved, and then we have politics. Politics is bad, but government is always good. It's from God, and it's designed to protect the citizens and to really keep us from having chaos in the land by establishing laws.
Yes, and God is a God of order, correct?
I mean, the Bible says that God does everything decently and in order. We don't need disorganization in our homes. We don't need it in our churches. We don't need it in society. We certainly don't need it in government.
Exactly. And he appoints these leaders.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible tells us, like it or not, for good or bad, I do believe our votes count. I can't get that cynical in my mind, or, you know, then I'll get all kinds of crazy beliefs. But I still believe our votes count. But, you know, in the long run, we have to understand that the people who end up in office, whether it's local office or whether it's a state office or whether it's a federal office, whether it's the president of the United States, that God orchestrates them being there for a reason. We may not like it, but as Christians, we have to accept it. Too many times we think if we don't like who's in office, that we don't have to pray for them, or we can undermine them or undercut them or sabotage it. And that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to accept the different things that go on in government, excuse me, and then he wants us to help make it a success, not sabotage it.
Yes, and the word does say that even though we may not like the leaders that are there and they're, that are appointed, that we are still supposed to pray for them, just like we pray for our enemies.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have a prayer list every year that I give to my church, and I send it out through our website. And the first thing on there is to pray for those who are rulers, pray for the leaders, pray for those in government. Whether we like them or not, it really doesn't matter. We are called to do things. You know, there's a lot of things in life you and I both do. Everybody who's listening, they do. And we don't necessarily like it, but we do it because it's the right thing to do. And as Christians, that ought to be our mindset. We don't do it because we like it. We don't do it because we don't stop doing things because we don't like it. We do the right thing according to the word of God and praying for our leaders. And the Bible also takes that another step, by the way, and he tells us to pray for the leaders of the leaders' families, to pray for their spouses, to pray for their children, to lift them up. You know, being in leadership, being in headship is not always an easy thing. And it's not always easy for those who, you know, are the family of those who are leading. And so we need to pray for them. And so the Bible doesn't just say pray for the leaders. It says pray for the family of leaders as well, because they go through a lot.
Are there any instances when God allows Christians to disobey the government?
Well, disobey, we want to be a little bit careful on that. Here's the thing, the Bible tells us that we should be under submission to those who are in leadership. And what that means is we follow the leaders as they follow God. So if they're not following God, we don't have a right to just compromise and lower our standard and just agree with somebody who's doing something wrong. If there's something in society that is happening that we don't like, we have a right to stand up. Even in the Old Testament, when the kings, which weren't really an ordained government from God, God basically what he did was he said, "You want your way, you think this is going to work, you go ahead," and it didn't work the way they wanted it to. In the Old Testament, we need to understand that. When it comes to government, we, have to lift up those people. We cannot get into situations where, we, go out there and maybe picket, and do all these things to draw negative attention to us. But what we can do is speak up and speak out. People may not think that that's an okay thing to do, but it is okay. If there's things in society that go against the word of God, we are not obligated to follow. We can stand up, we can speak out, we can let our voices be heard. I think the reason prayer was taken out of schools, by the way, back in the 70s was because the church just went into the church and prayed. We didn't let our voices be heard. The reason why, abortion is legal is because the church went and just prayed. Prayer's great, don't get me wrong, but we need to put a little action with our prayer, put those two things together and understand that, we may not always agree, but we have to do it in a respectful way. We have to do it in a right way, but we don't have any obligation to lower our standards and to compromise to join with government who is not teaching us principles that are according to the Word of God.
We have elections coming up this year, and since the 2020 US presidential election, Christians have become very distrustful in the voting system, let alone our political system. And we know that God is a sovereign God. He is in control of everything. However, does this mean Christians should not vote?
And no, we should go vote. It's a right that we have. America has its problems, but we're still the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we have a privilege that many nations still don't have, and that is to vote. And we got to get out there, let our voices be heard, and make sure that we are voting for people who are voting for Christ. Now, they may all be, I hear Christians, just like you said, they say, "Well, they're all crooked." Well, they may be all crooked. But when it comes to voting, we got to be careful to not be so judgmental, to not, go out there and try to, fill in the blanks for God and just follow the instructions. We have been given a right to vote. We need to get out there and vote. Vote for the person who really stands for the most of what the Bible stands for and the most of what Christ has said in the Word that we're to stand for.
Right, don't vote for personality or for charisma, but for their beliefs and their values. What,
Right, vote for the spirit of a person, not the
yes.
personality. It's the same way in a church. Too many times people like the pastor because he has a good personality. Well, that could be good, it could be bad. But if you look in the Bible, there a lot of these guys, a lot of these girls, they didn't have great personalities. You probably wouldn't invite Paul to your church because he was a jailbird. You wouldn't invite David because he was an adulterer. There's not too many people we'd have in our churches, and we don't vote based upon personalities. I'll be honest with you, we don't even vote based upon parties. We vote based upon right and wrong, what's in the word, and who takes the greatest stand for the word of God and for Jesus himself in the days that we live in. That's who we vote for. It doesn't even mean that they're going to keep it, but we still vote honestly. They may not keep their word, but in our hearts, we get out there and do what we're supposed to do. We take advantage of the civil liberties that we have to get out there and vote and to make sure that, we're at least letting our voice be heard.
Yes, and God sees that, right? He knows that if we take that proactive stand, if we do our civic duty, that matters to him.
Oh, it matters. I mean, if you read in Romans 12, actually Romans 9 through 12, you're going to see where, we have specific instructions from the Lord himself that he gave to Paul when Paul was in Rome. And so we need to make sure that we're doing our part in society. We're to be salt and light. So if we're negative about everything and, people in this world hear all the negative stuff that we have or all of our weird little theories, they may not even even want to come to church and live for God because of the little things that we have that really don't matter. We have to do what God told us to do. Voting is one of those things that make us a part of America. Get out there and vote. You may not think your vote counts. It may or may not. I don't really know. I still believe it does, but you need to do the right thing because voting is a privilege that we have here in America.
And God sees it all.
He sees everything. And, you know, it's what we do from our hearts. It's what we do trying to obey God that really matters the most. We don't have to answer for everybody else. We only have to answer for ourselves. So, you know, if we could learn that principle, then I think we'd all be better off. It doesn't matter what other people do to you. It matters what you do to them. Quit letting everybody else dictate to you what you're going to do or not do. Quit letting somebody tell you not to go vote because it's all crooked. Get out there and do your right thing. Get out there and do your civic duty. God sees it. And, you know, I believe God blesses us based upon our obedience to him.
Should pastors take a proactive stand to inform their members and engage them in the political process of voting?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that we love to do is give you the opportunity to choose properly. And so we've hooked up with some different people, different organizations. We come up with some things ourselves to let you know about the candidates. Again, it's not about the party. It's about the candidates. It's not about the personality. It's about the spirit. What are they standing for? What do they believe? Now, I don't believe we ought to get up there and say, hey, vote for this one, vote for that one. I don't believe we should go that far, but I do believe that we ought to give people the option. Let them see on paper exactly what this person stands for in their own words. I'm not putting my words to it. In their own words, what they believe for, what they stand for, what their vision is when they get into office, and then let the people determine for themselves who they're going to vote for. Again, I'm not really for getting up there and saying, get out there and vote for this specific person, get out there and vote for that specific person. I still believe in a separation of church and state, but I believe that was more for the state to stay out of the church than the church to stay out of the state. And so, I believe that what we got to do is informative people, wise people, knowledgeable people make better decisions. And so I think we have to give them that option. Hey, this one believes this, that one believes that, and then let them choose for themselves based upon the criteria of using the word of God to judge whether that person should, get your vote or not.
Should Christians use certain scriptures, or how should they use the Bible to basically help them vote for certain candidate?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can look at it like, okay, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's abortion, whether, it's taxes. If you look at the Roman Empire, it fell because there wasn't a focus on the family. It fell because there was increased taxes. These are things that we need to make sure we understand. Every major empire in the world has always fallen when the attention has gotten away from family, when there's been increased taxes, when the moral level has decreased. If we do that in America, listen, the cup of iniquity is already getting full. I think that's pretty obvious. But we need to understand, as a Christian, we need to do our part. And so we can use the word, use the scriptures. Romans chapter 9 through Romans chapter 12 are great little chapters to tell us a little bit about our civic duty. And, just judge it. Hey, you know, is God for murder? Absolutely not. So then do I vote for somebody who's for murder? That's how we use it. Is God for this? Is God for that? In our country today, if you look at the Christians, we are probably the minority in the world. It used to be what was in the closet stayed in the closet. Now it's out of the closet and paraded on the streets of America. And the problem with that is now Christians don't feel safe. We can feel like we got to run into our closets and be quiet. We should not feel like that. We're American citizens. We ought to stand up for what is right. We ought to declare the truth and use the word of God in every incident to make sure that we are judging things appropriately so we can vote properly.
I have read that in the past, some Christians and in some states did not vote or were not even registered to vote. How do you as a pastor encourage your congregation to understand that their vote matters to God and that we should take a stand and fulfill our civic duty?
Yeah, there's times that we not only encourage people to get out there and to vote. Every election, we always tell people, go out there and vote. Find out your, polling place. Get out there and make sure you do it. In where I'm at in California, it's very easy to register. So There's no excuse in California to not get out there and register to vote and then take an opportunity. Even if you can't make it to the polling place on the actual day, you can send in your vote via mail. Again, we can use all kinds of theories. We can be suspicious about everything. We need to go from the suspicion zone to the trust zone. I may not trust people, but I trust God. I trust His word. And we can't just, not vote because we think it's going to be bad any more than, hey, I don't go to churches. I don't think it's going to be a good song service. So we have to make sure that we are doing our part, doing the right thing. And then, whoever gets elected, and then we have to support them through the power of prayer.
Do you, as a pastor, ever speak about controversial issues as they arise from the scripture?
Every week, yes. If it's out there, if it's something that's relevant, absolutely. I would say, we have too many politicians in the pulpit sometimes who are trying to get the vote of the people, and they only say things that the people want to hear. Well, I'm not that guy. I'm a guy that believes that there's still a group of people, there's still a remnant of people in the church that want to hear the truth, that don't care if they get their toes stepped on, that don't have itchy ears, and that don't want their devils petted. So I'm not the guy to pet your devils. I'm not the zookeeper. I am a person who wants to cast those devils out of you. And so I believe in the word. I use the word. The word is my number one tool. I don't deviate from it to the left or to the right. I don't subtract or add. Whatever God says, I say. I've been doing this for a long time, and I figured out a long time ago, if I do it God's way, it's much better than if I do it my way. So I'm never afraid to deal with some of the issues that we deal with, that we hear on the news, that we see in the media. Never afraid of it, because my job is to please the Lord. My job is not to please people.
What has been your the reaction of your congregation since you've been so bold and so courageous about talking about controversial issues?
Well, I think, and I can only speak for myself. I believe I have the greatest church in America. So I'm privileged to be a part of a church that is hungry and they're young in the Lord and they want more of God and see our church growing. And so I think that it's a positive response. People want the truth. They really do. And I think if all we're doing from the pulpit is entertaining people in the pews, all we're going to do is make better sinners out of people in the pews. So I think what we have to do is, preach to please God. I'm a God pleaser. I'm not a man pleaser. Now, trust me, I don't wake up every morning and say, I hope that I can find one more person to not like me. But I am the kind of person that I want to please God. That's my sole goal in life. That's what I want to do more than anything. If it doesn't make people happy, I always tell them, go and talk to God. I didn't write the Bible. I'm just preaching the Bible. And so, too many times I think we have weak-kneed, limp-wristed, wimpy preachers in the pulpit who are only telling people what they want to hear instead of being a prophet in the land, declaring the truth, and then letting the chips fall where they may. I still believe there's people who, when they really get in trouble, when it's really crunch time, when it really goes through a difficult time in their life, they're going to want the truth. So they better have a place throughout all of America where they know, hey, I can call. I can go to, I can get some help, I can get honest answers, and people aren't going to play games with me. And so that's what we try to be at our church, and that's what I try to be as a pastor.
Do you think it's appropriate for a church to introduce a political candidate at their church service?
I don't think it's really it's something that I would do. I don't know if I'm 100% against it, but for me, I don't think I would. But I do think that there needs to be people in the church that run for office. So I think that, too often what we do is we have all these people in the church and they're always complaining, right? They're always saying this and that bad about the government. Well, maybe what you hate is what you've been called to fix. So what you ought to do is think about getting in there, running for office. It's not that easy, by the way, but it's something that you should maybe consider. It's kind of like somebody who complains about children's church when they take their kids over to, the kids' church. Maybe you ought to get involved, make it better. If you think your ways are better than everybody else's, then show us and lead us the way. So I don't like people who criticize about politics. I don't like people who criticize government because it is a God-given institution. I do believe that if we feel there's a need that we can fill, that we ought to do it, not complain, get in there and try to fix it.
How about providing voter guides for the congregation? What do you think about that?
100% yes. I think we ought to do that. We do that. We believe in that. I think we provide that means and that opportunity for them to have knowledge. Sometimes people, you know, when they do commercials or they're in front of people or they have little get-togethers at places, they'll say, they know how to talk, right? They know how to say things just perfectly so that you don't, you know, really catch on to what they're believing. They can be deceitful. Don't kid yourself. And so what we need to do is have these voter guides. I believe 100% in voter guides. I believe we ought to pass these things out in the church, give the people the option and the opportunity to vote for the person who is more closely related to the Bible and to God than the other, and let them know. If you listen, I'm not afraid of what I believe in. I believe what I believe. I'll stand by what I believe. I'll tell anybody what I believe. It doesn't matter. I know what I believe and I know why I believe it. And so because of that, I am not bashful. I'm not shy. I don't back down. I'm a believer in the things of the Bible. And so if you believe what you're doing, if you believe that some of these things that, you know, these politicians are standing for, then don't be afraid of it. Put it on paper and then let people vote in a knowledgeable way to either say yes or no for you being in office.
Do you encourage voter registration drives in the lobby after church?
Absolutely. We encourage people from the pulpit to go register. We encourage people from the pulpit to go out there and vote because we believe that the church is salt and light. You take the church out of the world. Now, you take the world out of the church. We need that. But we need to take the church and get it back in the world. Be the salt. Mm-hmm. Be the light. Get out there and help. Maybe there's something you can do at a precinct that, you know, can help during election day. Get out there and do that. Get out there and let your voice be heard. Get out there and, you know, work at the polls and do something to make our country better. You know, I said it a moment ago, but the United States of America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Do we have problems? Absolutely. But for those people who complain so much about America, I'm going to be the first one to throw in a 20 to help you go to someplace in the world, one-way ticket, by the way, that you can go to that will not be as good as America.
Has the Lord said anything to you prophetically about this election year that you have mentioned in your latest prophetic book, The Prophetic Almanac for 2024?
Well, one of the things that's pretty interesting is in the book, what I do is I give you some fun facts, you know, generally speaking, sports, entertainment. And then I also talk about history. And in history, I talk about the 24th Amendment, which prohibited states from requiring a poll tax and as a condition for voting in federal elections. So that was in 1964. And so that's the 24th Amendment. So we always look at the number 24 in every area of life. And also something that's extremely interesting. Do you know who the 24th president of the United States is?
No.
Most people don't. And it's not a trick question. I'm not trying to fool you. I just want to teach you something. But the 24th president of the United States of America was Stephen Grover Cleveland. Now, he was also the 22nd president. So he was the 22nd president and the 24th president with a four-year gap. Now, who does that sound like? You see where, you know, we had Trump in there for 4 years. You have a four-year gap. And now he has the, you know, he has the means to be able to maybe be president again. So you can see history repeat itself the same way it did with the 24th president, here with the 56th, maybe the 58th president. So it's an interesting thing. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's an interesting thing that Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and 24th. Donald Trump may end up being the 56th and the 58th president. So that's kind of interesting that, you know, that happened under the 24th president, which was Grover Cleveland, and it could happen again here in 2024.
Interesting. What is one command that God, that you mention in your book, that God commands for his church in 2024?
Well, when you look at the number 24, the number 24 is mentioned 19 times. Out of the 19 times, six out of those 19 times, it revolves around worship. Most of the times it's in the book of Revelation, and the word worship or worshiped is actually mentioned 24 times. And so at our church, what we're doing is declaring this to be a year of worship, where we worship the Lord, where we just let go and let God have his way, where we get out of the mix. We don't try to fill in the blanks. We let God do what he wants to do. And we just, we do our part. You know, God to do his part, but we got to do our part. There's an interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 3, where there was three kings, three political leaders, right, who came to Elijah. Two of the three were evil kings. There was only one good king. That was Jehoshaphat. They had tried for 7 days to find water in the land. They couldn't do it. They did it their way. And finally they said, well, let's go over to the prophet. They didn't want to do it. And Elijah didn't really want him to do it. So the two bad kings, Elijah said, why don't you go back to the God of your mothers? Go back to the God of your fathers. I'm not going to help you. And he said, well, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to help you, but I'm only going to help you because of Jehoshaphat, because he's trying to at least be a good godly king, right? And so Elijah said, but before I give you a word, before we change everything here and put God's stamp of approval, I'm going to go worship the Lord. And he had to worship the Lord to get his mindset. He had to worship the Lord to get his soul corrected. He had to worship the Lord so he can be in a right space. And so too many times, I think we forget the power of worship. And I tell the people, I just preached this message yesterday, that when you worship, God works. So you want God to work, then you worship. You do your job, and then God will do his job. Don't try to do God's job. He certainly won't do your job. But when you worship, he will work for you and work everything out for your good.
That's good. Amen. What advice and wisdom would you give to pastors, Pastor Bill, in this election year?
I think the advice that I would give, if somebody would listen, would be, you know, encourage, do your part first. Don't expect everybody else to do their part. Do your part first. Preach the word, tell the truth, don't back down, stand up for right and righteousness, and then make sure that you're encouraging your church to be involved, to be that salt and light in the land, to speak up and let their voices be heard. I'm not here to be politically correct. I'm not here to, you know, pat you on the back, make you feel better. I'm here to really get the word of God across. And so I'm not a politician. I would be more of a prophet who would speak the truth. And I would tell every pastor out there, go out and do the right thing. Use the word. Don't use your opinion. Don't use, you know, what you think is right, but always use the word of God. I had a dream. And this was years ago when I first started in ministry. And my dream, I went to hell. Now, I don't have all kinds of dreams all the time. But in this dream, I went to hell. And when I was in hell, there was somebody with me. And I kept seeing people pull out other people from the head of their hair up out of the smoke and fire to see their face. And finally, after a while, I got curious and I asked the person who was next to me, I said, what are they looking for? And he said, they're looking for the pastor that lied to them. And I woke up in a cold sweat and the Lord spoke to me and he said, never be the pastor they're looking for in hell. Preach the truth, declare what is right, make sure that you don't back down and look to please the Lord, never please man. And so if I had a message, that's what it would be. I tell young pastors, make sure that you're preaching out of the overflow. Don't just preach full, preach out of the overflow. You know, when I get up in that pulpit, I'm ready to go. Most people probably wouldn't think I'm an introverted person, but I really am. I'm a more quiet person. But boy, when I tell you, when I get full of God, when I get full of the Holy Spirit, I'm a whole nother person. And so, you know, I tell you, that's what I would tell young pastors is don't preach unless you are overflowing with the Spirit. Spirit-filled people are people that are Spirit-spilled people. We spill out the glory of the Lord, you know, and I think that's what helps draw other people to the Lord. So for young pastors, old pastors, I think I would tell them, preach the word, do what is right, and preach out of the overflow. Never just get up there and go through the motions. It's too important. It's too valuable. And somebody's life could weigh in the balance.
Thank you for listening to Global Gospel Worship Radio with Marina Maria, where all the nations praise the Lord with Christian international music and radio programs. For more information about our radio ministry, please go to globalgospelworshipradio.org. And now we'd like to bless you with this scripture from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thanks for listening.